I never realized the magnitude of how special BTS is to their fans. I want to say at least like 70-75% of my messages were coming from people here in the Philippines and just like telling me like how proud they am of me. They don't even know me, right? But they're telling me how proud they am of me for being, for one, Filipino, and two, writing a song on like one of their favorite artist songs. So like that right there, aside from the song, was a huge win for me.
You're listening to All In, a podcast brought to you by The Refined Gentleman's Lifestyle Lounge, powered by Podcast Network Asia. In this episode, Noel sits down and talks to Vince Nantes. A Los Angeles-based songwriter, Vince Nantes has worked with some of today's top musicians, from Apple Diap of the Black Eyed Peas to award-winning BTS. Listen to how his journey, until now, is definitely inspired by life itself. This is All In.
Yeah, man, thank you for coming on board on All In podcast. Holy shite, I think you might be number 10 podcast, which is kind of crazy how fast it's building. Yeah, man, it's been building pretty quickly, so it's fun. It's a lot of fun, man. I mean, this is one of my exciting parts of the week also. When I get to chat, because you know what I mean, one of the things I like doing is chatting with you guys when you come in, and then just, you know, whatever, shooting the shit, catching up. But yours, man, you got a lot to catch up on. Like, you, fuck, I met you at Locavore through BJ, and Jantu. We met there, we chatted, and then we just kept in touch, man, from 2 years ago, I think it was.
It's been good. It's been all love, man. Like, it was like early 2017, like maybe mid 2017, I believe.
Yeah.
Because you guys ended up opening up the Refine later on that year, right?
Or later on that year. I think it was like on the tail end of 2017. December was tail end.
Yeah.
But yeah, we met, talked at Locavore, man. But yeah, man, I've been always, I love the, you know, your story and you coming back here. I mean, you met Pilar here, and kind of there was a long distance relationship back and forth. I don't know how long the dating was. All I remember now, I just think that you guys have been married forever. Like, that's how I see it. It's not like you just got married, because I think you just got married last year, but it seems like you guys have been married from like day one since I've known you.
Yeah, yeah. No, we've been together for a while, like since 2015. So, but we didn't get married until 2018. So it's been a minute.
And then besides here, because of the pandemic and lockdown and all that fun stuff, you're living in LA. I know you were living in Chicago for a while too.
Well, I grew up in Chicago.
Because you got a Chicago accent.
What's up?
Your accent is not Los Angeles. It's not an LA accent. It's more of I guess maybe a Chicago accent. I mean, yeah, that's one thing that's funny about LA is like when I lived there, everyone's accent was different. Because nobody was from LA.
Right. Yeah. They're all transplants. But like, it's funny too. Like, you know, people would tell me like, oh man, your accent is so thick. Your Chicago accent is so thick. But like, you know, as a person, like you don't actually hear your own accent. Right. Cause it's just sounds so natural to you. So yeah, but no, I grew up in Chicago. I moved to LA when I, back in like 2013, like the end of it. And so I've been there ever since, but I do travel a lot back and forth from LA and home and from LA and here.
Yeah, man. I love my stint in LA. I was there for, I think, maybe 3 years. Loved it. I mean, the people that we met there, the majority were from transplants. One dude, his name is Carl. He's he was a dancer there. He was from Missouri, St. Louis. And his your accent kind of reminds me of his, because it was that kind of.
Like very Midwestern.
Yeah, Midwestern, man. And I love it, man. And when I hear your voice, and maybe that's also I have this comfort feeling when me and you sit and chat, because you have that Midwestern accent. Yeah, hey. I know you don't hear it. I hear it. And I love it. I've always loved that. It brings me back memories when I was in LA and hanging out with my buddy Carl. You know, we were pretty tight and stuff like that. And yeah, man, that was good times, man. And now I know, like, you being a creative person, I mean, LA is a hotbed for creative, especially for hip hop. And you know, at the time when I was there, it was dance, like you know, choreography and taking classes at Edge and Millennium, and that was inspiring. I found a lot of inspiration in LA, And I've always wanted to go back eventually to, I don't know about to live there, but just to have a place there to come back to, because something about it, man, I don't know. What's your, you know, you're from Chicago, well, raised in Chicago, LA. I think it's pretty different. Tell me, like, why LA?
Why LA? Just because at the time that I decided to move, like, I felt like it was the greatest opportunity for me to really, like, tap into the industry, you know, because, you know, the industry in terms of entertainment, especially music, it isn't as big in Chicago as it is in LA. Granted, you have your Kanye, your Chance the Rapper, you know what I'm saying, your Common. You got some big names coming out of Chicago, but at the time that I decided to move, I felt like LA would be a good place for me, especially considering I got a job working for Apple DApp or the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah. So
I think that was probably the deciding factor for me. Because I've always had some kind of love and special place in my heart for New York, just because I always felt New York was like a bigger Chicago.
Yeah.
I've always felt that. I've always loved the big city vibe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Especially with New York, but seeing that that's where the opportunity was leading me towards, I was like, you know, like, let's do it. Let's go for it. At the time, I was working your typical 9-to-5 job, man. I was working at T-Mobile, you know, slanging cell phone plans. You know what I'm saying? great pay, great benefits. You know what I'm saying? I was making bank for a person my age, especially, you know, some that decided to not finish college and just kind of just do it on my own and figure it out, right? So yeah, that's why I chose LA, you know. But I think, granted, that's the epicenter of where like music and entertainment is right now. Like, at this point now in my life, personally, like I don't think it's the end all. Touch base with people in LA and kind of make your presence known in LA here and there. But at the same time, I think with how technology has advanced, like you don't necessarily
have to. Oh man, you're 100% right. It's global now, bro.
Yeah,
it's global. So global. Like even the tech world, when it first started booming, they said that, you know, Silicon Valley was the place to be. Silicon Valley is the place to be. And all the investors, you got to move. You got to move from, you know, whatever idea you have, bring it to Silicon Valley. The secret was, and I've been hearing from, you know, some investors, is that, you know, people would tell you to go to Silicon Valley because that's where they live. That's the only reason why. They don't want to fucking travel to Missouri or wherever to check out, you know, check on their investment. They want it right there in their backyard. So it's more, that's what it is. But now you're right, especially with this crazy shit that's going on with the pandemic, work from home, work from anywhere with Zoom and all that stuff. You don't need to be in LA anymore. You don't need to be anywhere. You can make it anywhere, right? Like the song, you can't make it, you can make it, you know what I mean? That's where it is. Well, I got to pause a little bit. I got to know, cause you're, you know, you said Chicago and you love, and you're the heart, New York is a part of your heart. Which is better, pizza?
Come on.
I already know. I have my answer, man. I got my answer, but I want to know from a guy from Chicago.
Honestly, New York.
Yes. New York pizza is unfreaking believable. It's about the flop too, man. The flop of the pizza, man. When you fold it, ooh, so good.
No, I mean, Chicago has phenomenal food and, you know, and phenomenal pizza, but, you know, I hate to say it, and, you know, being a native of Chicago, like, New York still has the better pizza. Like, we have deep dish, which is cool, but, like, even me, coming from Chicago, like, I don't really crave deep dish like that.
Yeah.
You know?
I think maybe because deep dish is such a heavy, heavy meal. It's not like how many times you walk down the street and it's like, you know what? I crave lasagna. Like, it's such a heavy meal. But when you go to New York City, it's a slice. Like, it's just a slice. It's like how you crave the hot dog. I think Toronto has the best, you know, smog dog, we call it, the hot dog, street dog. I mean, because it's just simple food, put in your mouth, you're done. It's not like this big meal, which, Chicago deep dish is good, and I've had it a bunch of times when we used to visit there. But, yeah, New York pizza. I just have to know, I have, you know, when you mentioned Chicago pizza and New York, man, I had to find out, okay, which one do you choose? But, yeah, going back to, being global and music, man, I mean, wow, you hit something. You know what I mean? Like, there's something big that happened. I don't know how many people know about this, man, and especially with the huge popularity of K-pop and K-dramas and all that stuff, and it's insane. And I remember you coming to the Refine and you were telling them, like, you know, what's going on? Why are you here? And you were telling them, I'm like, what? And I had to Google what BTS was. I'm like, what? And then I'm like listening, I'm like, no, what? And then just, you know, tell the listeners, like, what's going on? Like, what? Tell them the backstory, man. This is so fucking, it's dope how you, you know, a Phil-Am.
Yeah.
To do work with these boys.
No, so Black Swan is the latest single, and I co-wrote that with a good friend of mine, August Rigo, who's also a Toronto native, right? Which is crazy because BTS is one of the biggest things in the music industry, and the whole K-pop thing take the United States by storm, like the entire world by storm, is such a beautiful thing. And I was actually out in New York with the wife visiting some family, around like August, September. And so, you know, we were just taking the time visiting, catching up, you know, just shooting the shit.
Yeah.
And then we were staying out in Jersey. They were staying out in Queens. So it was a little bit of a drive, you know, at times. And then he just hit me with an email. Was like, yo, like, we got this opportunity to write a BTS record. You know, it's not a for sure. It's worth a shot. You know, we'll send it off and see what they think. And, you know, we'll take it from there. And so we spent maybe like a week or two kind of just throwing ideas back and forth, recording different versions of the song. And that was it, man. And I wasn't even in LA, bro. I was in New York. You know what I'm saying?
And you were traveling. You were visiting. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. And all this shit done happened. But, you know, I guess that's the moral of that story is basically, you know, there's shots that you get. Every day you get an opportunity and it's up to you. You want to take it. If you don't want to take it, then all right, you didn't take it. But if you take it, don't make excuses like, oh, I got to get back to LA, man. I got to get back to my studio. No, man, like inspiration and it can come from everywhere.
And have a desk.
Hey, Vince, do me a favor. Just pause your video only, not your audio, just your video.
Now with how technology is, like, you know, granted LA is the place to be, but it's also not the end all be all because my biggest song that I cut in my entire life happened in a bedroom in New Jersey. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, we did that for a couple weeks. And then after that, it was just all like chill time, you know. We did what we had to do, and then after that we just kind of let everything take its course. And we played the waiting game for a while, to be honest, because then we were in New York for a little bit. Og headed back to Toronto. We headed back to Chicago and LA, you know, and still nothing. But, you know, while we were still playing the waiting game, we kept our head down and we kept working, you know. And then come Thanksgiving time, I was in Chicago, you know, visiting family there for Thanksgiving. Og gives me a call, was like, yo, like, how do you feel about getting the BTS cut? And I was like, yo, that'd be super love. That'd be incredible. You know? And he was like, yo, like, you know, it could be a for sure thing. It's still 50-50 now. I just wanted to keep you updated. Now.
Yeah.
I was like, cool. You know, like, it's in their hands now. Whatever happens, happens. And either way, we just keep it moving. We keep working. And then, you know, nothing happened. You know, January, we're still here. You know, we were supposed to leave in January.
Yeah.
Because that was kind of like our tentative plan, which is to stay here for like a month and a half. And I think I was coming from the fort. I had left the gym. I was coming from the fort, and then I was driving back over the bridge. And then someone added me on Instagram and was like, yo, this song is so amazing. This song is so beautiful. So 2 days before that, actually, still in the Philippines, Og's partner had messaged me. It was like, yo, I'm going to need you to sign a few pieces of paperwork. You know, still not a for sure thing, but just in case it is, like, at least we have your signature. I was like, cool. And it was just like paperwork regarding the song that we did. signed that, sent that off. Fast forward to those 2 days, I was leaving the gym, driving over the bridge, and then someone added me on Instagram and was like, yo, this song is so beautiful. Like, this song is incredible. I can't believe you guys were a part of this. I was like, yo, what are you talking about? Like, what song, right? Because I didn't know what the hell was going on. And I was like, what is this girl talking about? Like, I appreciate it. It was very kind words, but like, what is she talking about? And so, sitting in your typical Philippine traffic, I had the chance to really just go through my phone, and then I saw that like the song dropped. So I didn't even know the song came out until this girl like messaged me on Instagram and was like, the song is incredible. And yeah. I was like, yo. And then so I'm looking, I jump on Spotify, I see it, I look at the credits, I'm like, damn, I just got my biggest cut. And then so after that, I called my wife, I was like, yo, you need to go on Spotify right now. And see what happened. So like my world changed. My world changed in like a split second. You know what I'm saying? And then probably maybe for like the next week or so, I was getting at least like 200 to 300 messages a day from like BTS fans. Like, yo, like this song is so good. Like, we can't believe you're Filipino and makes us so proud. And I was like,
oh wow.
And I was like, damn, like for one, I never realized the magnitude of how special BTS is to their fans, for one thing, and number two, how big of a following that they have here in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. And I want to say at least like 75% of my messages were coming from people here in the Philippines and just like Filipino fans just like telling me like how proud they am of me. They don't even know me, right? But they're telling me how proud they am of me for being, for one, Filipino, and two, writing a song on like one of their favorite artist songs. So like that right there, aside from the song, was a huge win for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just cause like, you know, Asian Americans in general are just Asians. You know what I'm saying? It's very hard for them to break through an industry, whether it be music or, you know, any kind of entertainment that isn't, you know, Asian. You know what I'm saying? Like it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard for Asians to do that. It's very rare that you see like people of the same nationality, you know, kind of winning in that spectrum. So for me to hear that, like, yo, like an average dude is some person's inspiration is kind of cool, man. You know what I'm saying?
It's a big thing, man. Like a lot of Filipinos don't know that, especially the ones that are, you know, in the spotlight or whatever, that there's a lot of Filipinos looking up to them and says, and is super proud. You know what I mean? Like when they find out, oh my God, that person's half Filipino. I didn't know that. Oh my God. I'm like, there's a huge sense of pride because again, we're being represented, you know, in the music industry or the film industry. You know, when I found out Bruno Mars was half Filipino, I'm like, what? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I mean? It's a huge thing. And at the same time, that's inspiring and motivating for me because then it makes me, you know, work that much harder to do well because I know it's not just me. It's like my whole countrymen behind me that, you know, when we do well, you know, we wave the flag, you know, I'm from the Philippines kind of thing. And I think it resonates to a lot of people, especially people that are looking for that inspiration, man. Like, that's crazy that fucking, you know what I mean? Because then people probably think that, oh, you know, this is an overnight success for you, which I know it's not. And that's the crazy thing is, you know, and they tell people, you know, you just can't quit. You know, just don't quit. No matter how long it takes, don't quit. You know, maybe, you know, when did you start this music stuff? Like, right now, it's 2020, right? This song dropped 2019. Right?
Yeah.
When did you start music?
Like, seriously and professionally, I started going for broke on the music thing in 2009.
Wow.
You know, like granted, like I've sang and played the piano all my life. I've been involved and kind of been part of music, you know, my entire life because I grew up in it because of my family. But you know, I always had a passion for it. You know, I've always liked it. I've always loved it, but I never knew what to do. I went to college for like a music. I wanted to sing and write my own music. And, you know, I went to college. I didn't really like it just because I just felt like I was feeling boxed in, you know, and I'd much rather get you know, the real life experience. I'd rather sit in a studio and learn this shit than sit in a classroom and be like, yo, when is this shit going to end? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's funny that you said 2019. Sorry for cutting you off. You started seriously 2009. I was gonna actually answer you and guarantee you started 10 years ago. The reason why I say that is I don't know what it is, man. I don't know if it's a numbers thing. And people that know numbers, when it comes to, you know, people's journey and stuff, and I don't follow it, but I kind of, people have told me a little bit. That number 10 is consistent to a lot of successful people that it took them 10 years to then it's some 10 years at right at the dot of 10 years, boom, there's that, that opportunity. And I don't know why 10, maybe I love 10. That's one of my favorite numbers, but yeah, I was going to say, I guarantee you started at 2009.
No, for sure. That's nuts. For sure. Yeah, no. And you know what, like going back to what you just said, like, I think it was Jay-Z. Like in an interview or something, he said it takes you about 10 years to hit your stride, 20 years to be great.
Yes, so absolutely. And that's why people, you need the 10 years. Like, you know, I'm going to say millennials, but I think a lot of people are like this, that they you know, they start a business, but they're so impatient that they want it to hit big the first year. Yeah. Or, why isn't it doing well? Or, you know, it's been 4 months and I've been, no, man, you got to grind it out for 10 years. You got to go through, you know, university of life. For 10 years, I'm the same way. I'm the same way with you with school, man. I was bored out of my mind. I hated it. Once I got in the industry and I started working, I learned so much more the first month than I did the 4 years I did in college. And I'm like, I want to learn. Yeah, man.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I'm not, to whoever's listening, you know what I'm saying? If you are younger, like, I'm not saying like, don't quit, you know, I'm not saying quit school and kind of figure it out. You know, but that's what helped me, you know, school's important, you know, depending on what you're getting into. Yeah. But for me, like what worked for me is the fact that like, I got that real life experience, I wanted to put in the hours, you know, doing that physical labor than just sitting there writing notes, you know, wishing the class would end.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to school to be a doctor, go to fucking school. Like, you know, if you're going to be a lawyer, go to fucking school. But if you're going to go, to be a musician, or in my case, an art director in advertising, I mean, I can argue that you can learn that shit, you know, interning at a, you know, a music house or an advertising agency and learn, and it'll be cheaper. You know what I mean? What you can do, people get, you know, I'm hearing in the States, the fucking student loan payback is just a bitch. It's putting so many kids in debt. Take that fucking 40K that you got as a loan and invest it in something and do an internship. True. You know what I mean? And then take that money out and you just tripled your money.
No, that's facts, man. And like the next point I was going to make, you know, aside from, you know, spending the hours physically doing it, like at the same time, you know, it comes down to building these relationships. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody will tell you it's not always about what you know, it's who you know, and for
network.
And, you know, I was thankful, you know, at a very young age, you know, like in my 20s, 18, 20, you know, I was fortunate enough to know, like, you know, if I'm not going to go to school, I might as well that are in this game to teach me game, you know, build my network, started to make relationships with pretty much everybody, you know? And like, I think at that point, like I felt and understood the importance of building relationships and networking. You know, and so I got my, you know, I got my experience from real life experience instead of being, you know, in a classroom.
That's so fucking cute. I mean, people will debate it all they want. And I think everyone has a different viewpoint,
and that's fair,
you know, and I understand that. But I mean, for me, going now that what I know right now, did I need to go to college? No. But I mean, the one thing I can't argue with, if you don't know what you want to do, don't force yourself to go to university or college. What I think university, aside from being a doctor, lawyer, and all those engineers and things that you need to learn that stuff, for the ones that are taking like, you know, English or whatever, it does teach you in school in general, teaches you how to organize, how to hit deadlines, how to make deadlines, how to, you know, basically schedule your life. I see that. It also, you know, especially in high school and grade school, you know, math, for me, I don't like math at all, but what it does, it exercises your brain. But when it comes to having, you know, going all out and going all in your life and going for your dreams and stuff like that, you know, don't let school stop you. You know what I mean? I hear people all the time because, well, I can't be a CEO because I still have to go to school. I'm like, just start doing it, man. Just start doing what you do. Like with you, man, 10 years, that 10 years, you can't even come close to that education. You cannot. Like, you're going to have to take triple that in a music place, like, you know, a music school to get that experience, man. And you're right. The one thing you said, right, and I keep on telling people, your network is your net worth. Like, absolutely. You need to build your fucking network. Get to go out. Don't go out to get drunk and shit. Go out to meet people because you never know who you're standing beside. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's who's going to, you know, it's not a coincidence that Jay-Z and his friends are doing very well because that's their network. They, you know, they, I don't know if you heard about it. I think it's in New York. Yeah, New York. Jay-Z holds a brunch on Sundays. Like, you got to wear a suit. You got to, like, it's like, it's all about the way you dress, popping champagne, but it's all about this networking Sunday brunch. And we wanted to launch that, but this whole thing came down. So we're going to be doing it as soon as it's allowed to do gatherings. But we're all about the network, man. That's what we're focused on 100% now.
Yeah. Well, that's facts. No, Jay-Z does that for Grammy weekend too. He does a Rock Nation brunch, and you know, the who's of the music industry are all there. Yeah. You know, it's a good time, but you can also see, and that's a testament, is you surround yourself with great people, you're going to be great, you know?
Yeah, it's huge. I don't know why it's not that big here, brunch. I sort of kind of know because family is huge here, like having breakfast, going to church, you know, on a Sunday is big here. But when it comes to networking and business, brunches, because you go out the Saturday night and then on Sunday you discuss it. And again, like I said, for the Refine, you know, again, not trying to pitch it, but you know, it is, you know, they are one of our sponsors. But with the Refine, we are actually pivoting the whole thing about, and we're focusing 100% on networking and building that network, because that's what's needed here in the Philippines, is to build, people need to build their network. The difference with network here in the Philippines is that your network is basically your family's network. And if you're rich, there's a very good chance you'll do well because you got your family's network. But what happened to the people that are middle class or lower income that doesn't have, that were born in a family, that kind of influential family? Does that mean, oh, they don't have a chance to become rich or successful, or, start a really good business? No, like, this is what we need to do. We have to educate the Filipinos, the local Filipinos, and they're already doing it. We're going to start gathering that. You know what I mean? The network is so key. And I love that you said that, man, because people, I don't know, I think it's not highly regarded here like it is in especially LA. When they use the term, hey, let's do lunch, you know what that means. You know what I mean? You know, if you can close that deal at lunch, man, you're networking.
Yeah, no, like if you get that, hey, let's do lunch in that conversation, like, you've already got one foot in the door.
Huge foot in the door, man. And that's what you're working towards, is to hear that phrase, let's do lunch, right? And then you got that lunch, not even that lunch. You probably have 5-10 minutes in the beginning of that lunch to sell your idea, or you're never going to see that person again. Because networking is so highly regarded and it's protected, right?
It is.
You know what I mean? And when you say, hey, do you know somebody in the States? You're not like, I'm not going to offer it up that quick. What's going on? Because it's your reputation. It's kind of like, I use the, you ever watched the movie Donnie Brasco?
Yeah.
Yeah, I call it the Donnie Brasco effect. So if I always say that my network, if I'm going to recommend you, I'm vouching for you. It's the Donnie Brasco. You're a friend of mine, right? Yeah. And then from there, but don't fuck it up, because I just vouched for you. You know what I mean? It's going to come back to me that I recommended you. So that's if anybody knows what networking is, that's networking. Watch the movie Donnie Brasco. And you know what, not in the sense of killing, but in a sense of, you know, being truthful, being transparent, you know, saying what you're going to do, and don't take advantage of the situation, man, because they'll come back.
Yeah, that's true. It's like, because, like, you know, once we hit that, you know, networking point, it's like, we are a representative of each other. You know what I'm saying? And I am as equally responsible to uphold that reputation just as much as you are, you know, and you fuck it up for everybody and vice versa.
Exactly. And vice versa. Absolutely. So now that, you know, this, the Black Swan came out and, you know, you've been interviewed quite a bit, and how many young up and coming artists have reached out to you? And you know what I mean?
There's been a good amount, man. You know, like I try to do my best to really like reach out to everybody and respond and, you know, have a conversation, just cause like, you know, I'm not going to, yeah, I got a big song, but that doesn't make me super Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to keep it as down to earth as I possibly can, you know, cause these guys are taking their time to reach out to me and to strike a conversation with me. You know what I'm saying? Like the least I can do is do the same. And I've had a couple of people, you know, reach out to me like, you know, what's your process or what do you like to do to kind of get in the mode of writing a song, you know, and I'll hit them back, you know, and these conversations are dope because like it reminds me of who I was and where I was, yeah, you know, 10, 15 years ago when I first started out this shit, you know, and if I can spark that conversation in that next person, male or female, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, and they end up killing it just based off of the conversation that we had, then, you know, I did good. I did great work. You know what I'm saying?
It's not sure.
Like, to me, it's not always about like the accolades or things that you accomplish, but like, if I can, inspire somebody else that's kind of in the similar position that I was, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that's a win for me, bro. Cause like the people that I reached out to, you know, they took the time and did the same thing for me and they didn't have to, you know what I'm saying? They could have just been like, yo, just hit me tomorrow or like hit me later. You know, but yeah, they took the time to do that, you know, and I feel like it's my duty to pay it forward. You know what I'm saying? This shit doesn't last forever, bro. Like, you know, like we're working towards something. We never know. We may never know if it's our first and our last, you know what I'm saying? Like, but we just got to keep on working and keep that positivity moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, you have to pay it forward. And the reason why I'm asking is because I think that's what we have to start doing here, is paying it forward. And especially in a time like this, and everybody is, you know, trying to figure out what their next move is, or they're looking for more knowledge, is, you know, I think one of the things that we got to do as entrepreneurs and everything like that is we have to pay it forward. And I would love to, you know, I'm saying it here right now, I'm going to set it up some sort of music conference of, you know, guest speakers, and, you know, have, you know, young and up and coming musicians, you know, come on, maybe on Zoom or whatever. Well, I think there's another platform we're actually going to use. I won't announce it yet, that we're closing the deal with, but do an event that you can speak to them, because I know there's so many, especially, oh my God, in the Philippines, I don't know what it is in the water. I didn't drink it, but there's so many fucking talented fucking singers and performers here, man. What is it with the Philippines? Like, you see the young kids in on karaoke at the mall, and they're killing it. I'm like, I must not be Filipino because I can't play basketball or freaking sing.
I don't know, man. I think it all just comes from like being a product of the environment. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people don't have it as good as the rest of us, unfortunately, right? Yeah. But they just like anybody else that kind of grows up in a tougher position, like they turn to music or basketball to kind of either escape. Make them happy or escape, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And just the Filipino people being just a loving and passionate, you know, people just by nature, you know what I'm saying? I think, you know, those two things have been able to kind of just translate to the rest of us as something that we all love, you know, like everyone loves to sing, everyone loves to play ball. You know, and I think because everyone loves it so much, like they just get good at it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't love it, you're not going to be good at it. You know,
exactly.
It's just going to be something that you do. But since, you know, but if you put in your time and your energy into something that you're really passionate about, something that you really love, like you can really transform that into something bigger than what it is.
And what's scary is there's so much talent here in the Philippines. There's so much talent. Imagine if they just had an opportunity to do it. Aside from YouTube, which now the algorithm is all effed up, so it's really hard to put something out and get the right people to see it. But it's scary that how much opportunity there is in the Philippines that people have. They just don't know it, and they probably don't have the support system, you know, at home. And again, I can understand if you're, especially if you're one of the breadwinners in the household, that you need, to obviously put food on the table, that the last thing they want you to do is, start singing. You know what I mean? But imagine the opportunities here. Like, I think Philippines, it's such an untapped market of talent, raw talent. And that's why I was kind of talking about if people have reached out to you, because I think there's a hunger of kids out there that want, get a chance or to showcase their, their talents, and they're going to look to you as, their kuya and says, "Hey kuya, how do you do this?" You know what I mean? And we have to start voicing that. We have to.
That's real, because if I can inspire some, again, you go back to representation, right? Like I represent a Filipino community, so in love with singing and music. You know what I'm saying? And for people younger than me to see me as an inspiration, this guy did it. You know what I'm saying? He wrote a song for one of the biggest people. He did it, and he's Filipino. I did my job, man. You know what I'm saying? Call it a day. I did my job. I inspired somebody to keep going.
Yeah.
And who's to say that same kid that I spoke to 10 years from now is doing a record for Justin Bieber or something and calls me up and is like, "Yo, remember that conversation we had? Thank you." You know what I'm saying? That shit might happen. You know what I'm saying?
No, because again, I think we're all in it together, no matter what industry you're in. I mean, for me, I want to pay it forward. That's now my new mission. That's my purpose, is to help people out, is to give the guidance, the mistakes I made in business. I want to pass that forward to the young entrepreneurs out there. I'm still doing it, and they're going to know I'm still doing it. I'm still, making the mistakes. I'm still learning from the mistakes, but I'm still doing it. I haven't quit. So, that's my purpose. And I think, the people like us, we need to really stand up and not wait until we win the Grammy to start passing it forward. I think we start passing it now, because again, you never know who it is. That's why everyone loves that movie, Pay It Forward, because it's about that. It's about, giving back to that next person. Right. Yeah. Especially for you, man. You're so inspirational, bro. Seriously, the moment I met you, I knew there was something about you. We just hit it off from day one, man. You're genuine as hell. You're so genuine. You know what I mean? So that's what I love about it. Our relationship, man. Every time we talk, I love hearing the stories, man. What's next with, moving forward? I mean, with this lockdown pandemic, have you been recording? Have you been writing? Have you been inspired by it?
Yeah, I got a big song, but all right, keep it moving. We got to get the next one, keep your head down and keep working. And, thankfully I've been able to keep going and keep working out here. I got my laptop. I got my small little recording set up with me. So I've been able to, keep the momentum going. I'm mm-hmm. still writing songs. I'm still connecting with people. I think I don't want to say the cool part of the pandemic, but what's been able to come from, the pandemic is, it's really given me an opportunity to kind of buckle down and reach out to people that I don't normally reach out to, mm-hmm. Just because everyone now today is on their laptops and on their computers versus being out in a meeting or having lunch or brunch and things like that. I feel the window of opportunity to be able to gain access to somebody is right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. They're connected.
Because they're at home on their computer. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody doing shows. Ain't nobody doing meetings right now. Everything's on the laptop and on the computer. And if I can be that one email that they catch on a Tuesday morning, then let's go.
You know? Because the way I see it, and I think, pertaining to you, you got a big song. The way I see it, you just got a bigger bait, right? That's all it is, right? So it's not like, "Oh, I'm done, I'm finished." No, cast that out again. But now you got a bigger, tastier bait on the line to reel in the next thing. And that's what people should be working towards, is building that bait.
Build that bait. And then, when you throw it back, make sure you come back with something even better. I got this song. Great. Awesome. It's definitely changed my life in some way. But at the same time, I gotta follow it up with something even bigger.
And you're still hungry. You're still hungry, bro.
Yeah. I just raised the bar for myself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's crazy. I love it, man. I know love having conversations like this. You know what I mean? Because for me, it's like, just because I'm doing what I'm doing, I love what I do, I still need that inspiration, man. I still need to hear the ups and the downs of other people and like-minded individuals. And that's why talking to you and having a conversation like this, it fuels me. That's why I always ask for 10 in the morning, because it gets me ready for the rest of the day. Like, it really just, all right, Vince is doing it, I'm doing it, you know what I mean? And then hopefully somebody hears this in the morning and they're like, hey, these guys are doing it. I don't know, man. I don't know what it is, man, but it just, music is that thing. It's, you know, when you work out and you don't want to work out, what do? You put music on your ear. Like, what? Like, and it's, and it's so universal, bro. You know what I mean? It's so universal. Yeah, K-pop, Korean, I don't get it. I don't really watch it, but it exploded universally.
It's insane.
But, you know what I mean? Like, what? And, but it just shows that music is, you know, it's universal. Like, it inspires no matter what. I know for me, and I'm bad at this, like, when I listen to a song, I actually don't listen to words. I hear the beat and the energy that the performer's giving. That's what fuels me. It's not until later on, like, oh, that's the words they were saying. Maybe that's why I'm a bad singer, because I don't know the words. So I think we figured that part out. But it's the energy, man, and that's what it is. Like, even for you, man, hopefully it doesn't embarrass you, but you posted something on Facebook long time, I think it was like a couple of years ago, of you just singing. Bro, I'm like, Vince can sing. Shit. You know what I mean? I'm listening to it. And I was actually going to reach out to you and say, hey, Vince, you want to give me lessons? Because it's like, fuck. Oh, you know what I mean? But it's like, again, you were just in your living room. You're on your keyboard. And that alone was enough to kind of like, whoa, that was awesome. It's like when you watch YouTube videos of these young up-and-comer, like, you know, these performers. It's like Teddy Swims, big, huge fan of this guy. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. Holy shit. Teddy Swims, if you go on YouTube him. He's an amazing, like, when you look at it, it's like judging the book by its cover. This guy has tats all over his face. He's, you know, he's a big, big country boy with a beard. But he sings R&B and soul like no other, man. It's so deep. Yeah, man. Teddy Swims is amazing. But that's all he was. He was on, you know, just a microphone and music. And that's it. Like, for you, what do you listen to, bro? Like, when you want to get inspired or motivated?
I don't know, man. Like, I listen to everything, to be honest. Like, I don't really – It's like,
but you're like a nine. You. I hear '90s Teddy, you know, Teddy Jam, and, you know, all those, you know, Joe, and all those '90s ballads. You know, I hear that soul from your stuff. Yeah.
I'm a '90s kid all day through and through, just because that's, you know, that's the era that I grew up in, and that's, you know, that's what inspired me. You know, and I'll forever like love and listen to '90s and early 2000s shit all day every day. Yeah. You know. But it's different, you know, because in a position as a songwriter, you kind of have to write music for the young kids, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's the young kids that are buying it up. Like, people like us, like, we're just like, yo, I'm gonna throw on some Joe real quick. Let me throw on some Stevie Wonder real quick. Like, it's already there, you know, like that's what we like, you know, granted,
John B.
Right. Granted, we like all the like new shit too, but at the same time, you know, as a songwriter, you know, I also have to kind of keep up. You know, I kind of have to keep up with the young kids, with the millennials. You know, so, you know, I try to listen in on like the newer things. You know what I'm saying? And it's funny because it's like, damn, like, am I an old head now? Like, because like. Cause I get kind of tight listening to the new stuff, and I'm kind of like, I don't like that, you know.
Yeah.
Not as '90s, you know what I'm saying? Like, I find myself doing that now, but because I have to keep up with the young kids, you know, I do find myself scouring the internet for like, you know, independent kids that I've never heard of, but that fit the genre of like the music that I listen to, you know. I can't really say I listen to a specific artist or a specific person. Obviously, I listen to the Drake. I listen to, you know, I listen to all the cool shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I really do take my time scouring the internet, scouring Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, just for like unheard, untapped people, or just like people that are just starting a bubble that have no, you know, record label backing, that are doing that same kind of music, just to kind of stay inspired and keep inspired and just trying to keep up.
Yeah. I mean, it's all, that's what it is. And I think that's, you know, that's the reason why I'm asking you that is that, you know, one of the things that people stop doing is learning. Like one of the, you know, one of my mentors said that, you know, what made me good in advertising is that I was a student of advertising. Like I kept on learning even when school was over. I think I learned more outside of school because I looked up internet. I looked at award books. I looked at, you know, who this person is, who this creative is, and so on and so forth. And then, you know, my mentor would always say, when you're, you know, when you want to be creative, you know, do things that you don't normally do. Like go on a fucking subway ride and listen to country music, you know what I mean? Yeah. In your ear. Cause you never know where inspiration is going to come from.
Oh, that's facts. And, you know, going back to what you just said, you know, like if you stop being a student, you stop your progress. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like Kobe never stopped learning. Michael Jordan never stopped learning. You know what I'm saying? And look at them, look at what they've been able to accomplish. You know what I'm saying? Like you always have to be a student of the game that you're in, you know? And I find myself, you know, studying that shit. Like I'll listen to a song, you know, I'll go into the song credits. I'll see who the producer is. I'll see who the songwriter is.
Yeah.
You know? And then whoever's name sparks interest in me, I'll look up that songwriter or that producer, and I'll look into their catalog. What have they done? What did they write? What sounds or what techniques did they use? You know, and then I'm gonna look at their credits. Who did they collaborate with? And I'm gonna look at the people that they collaborated with, and I'm gonna do my research on them, and then so on and so forth. You know, I continue and I stay doing my research on who did what and who was a part of it. Because that's how you kind of stay in tune with what's going on, you know? And going back to that train thing, like one of my good friends who was an A&R over at Atlantic Records, he was like, you know, this game is kind of like riding a bus or a train. Like, you know, it's really up to you at what stop you get off of. But if you get off at that stop, the train's just going to keep on going.
It's still going to keep on going. That's right. I mean, man, it's not everyone thinks it's easy. Or they think their task in front of them is so, it's harder than anybody's. It's not, it's the same. It's just how you perceive it, right? But, you know, and it's just, you can't quit. Like you got to keep going or recognize, okay, that's not working. Let me pivot into something else. Something else, it's not working here. So you also have to look at it, you know, like, you know, when you hear people, it's like, you know, if you believe in it and, you know, if you really love it, then, you know, just don't quit. But there's also the other flip side, and I'm going to, you know, I've been using this all day today, was if I went out and sang, and I think I'm an amazing singer, but if you heard me sing, it's bad. Like, it's really bad, but I'm not listening to you or anybody else. You know, that's, you're not going to go anywhere. You know what I mean? I'm not going to go anywhere as a singer because I can't do that. So it's up to me to recognize the critiques and says, okay, what am I going to listen to? Is it valid? Okay, do I feel okay? Let me take a step back and then you need to assess, because if you're like in this bubble and like, no, I'm not gonna listen to anybody, fuck that shit, I'm not gonna listen. Oh, this is what I'm gonna write, you know, it's like, well, you know what I mean? It's like unless you're doing it for yourself and you get this joy and you don't care about anybody else and you get that satisfaction, then continue doing it. But if you're trying to become the next, you know, Brian McKnight and all these, you know, see, I'm using the old guys, but if you want to use, that's so funny I said that, Brian McKnight. But you know what I mean? Then it probably won't happen, but you never know. You might be a fucking amazing songwriter or producer or sound engineer. Like, you don't know if that's, again, it's all about really being honest with yourself and says, okay, let me take a step back, right? And that's what I love about the Bruno Mars, you know, Pharrell and, you know, even Neo, these guys can do it all, right? They were just lucky to do it all. But sometimes they just want, you know, I want to stay behind the scenes, write the music and blah, blah, blah. Like Sia says, she loves writing the songs. She just loves it. Yeah. She likes doing it. She gets the same satisfaction and more money.
Yeah. And that goes back to, you know, being a student of the game. You know what I'm saying? Like the game is teaching you. The people around you are teaching you, you know, and it's up to you to kind of, you know, take what you learn and like what you said, pivot. You know, if this shit's not working, but you have an idea what might.
Yeah.
You know, do it.
Yeah.
You know, I see a lot of people that are just like, yo, fuck this, man. I'm going to quit. Like, motherfucker said I can't sing. Okay. Yeah. Fine. You can't sing, but you're a great writer. Why don't you get into writing? No, I don't want to do that shit. I want to sing.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
People don't see that. You know, and that's kind of where I was too at some point, because like I was trying to do the artist thing, right?
Yeah.
Just like everybody else. You know, I was doing shows, I was doing small little tours here and there. I was going to Austin, Texas for South by Southwest and performing. But like it never was really taking off for me. People liked my music, cool, but like I wasn't fucking popping off, you know? Yeah. And I was like, yo, how come I'm not popping yet? Like, I'm the shit, you know? And for one, like I had confidence in. And anybody will tell you confidence will take you places. You know, you have to be confident in you, because it's a tough game out there. But like, I just was not getting, you know, the results that I had envisioned. Right. Mm-hmm. And then people were reaching out to me. It was like, yo, do you mind, you know, helping me write a song? Do you mind helping me write this? Help me write that. And at first I was like, hell no, man, I'm an artist, bro. Like I only write for myself. But then I saw, you know, a lot of people were really starting to like, yo, I really like the way you write. Like, can you help me? Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, cool. I guess like, let's figure it out. And you know, like while I was writing for people, I was still trying to do the artist thing. And I got to a point, like you said, Noel, where I had to learn how to pivot.
Yeah.
And I kind of, you know, I kind of came to grips. And I was like, yo, this artist shit is not for me, bro. Mm-hmm. Like this shit not popping off. Like, people like it, but it's, you know, it's not really breaking barriers, you know? And so I pivoted, I started writing for people, and, you know, that's what was able to get me, you know, an opportunity to work with Apple Diab with the Black Eyed Peas, because not as an artist, but as a writer, as a person that was in touch with music, that kind of knew, you know, was hot or not, you know, I had a certain instinct about music, you know, that people gravitated towards versus me being an artist.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was, you know, and I had to pivot, you know, and pivoting is not a bad thing. Like that one pivot could actually set you towards the right goal and the right opportunity to really, to really help you hit your stride, man. And, and I, people are, and you know, I'm not going to knock them for it. People are so kind of strong about how they feel in a certain position, like, oh, I want to be a singer, that's all I want to do. Like, I can't knock you for that. Like, you're passionate about it, so like, go for it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, like, when opportunities knock, bro, sometimes you got to open that door and figure it out.
Yeah, because I feel like the universe or God or whatever you want to call it, it knows genuinely what you want and deserve. And you might say, I want to be famous, I want to stand in front of, you know, in front of a crowd and sing. But really, down deep inside, you want to touch somebody with music, or with, you know, with you want to entertain them, but you also want to hit them with your music. So it might be words, and the universe is the one that dictates it, right? I feel like it's like it leads you and guides you and gives you all these freaking signs, and it's up to us to say, recognize it and be real with ourselves, man. You know what I mean? Like for me, it doesn't mean that you're going to be songwriting and then you'll never be on stage. No, you don't know. Like this might actually be another path of your journey. So you need to just enjoy every fucking step of the journey, you know, to really fully, you know, live life.
No, that's absolutely on point, man. Because like, you know, like we put stuff into the universe all the time, you know, like, we throw it out there in the universe, you know, we try to do our best to speak it into existence, you know, but sometimes I feel like we get so obsessed with what we throw into the universe that that's all we ever think about, you know?
Yeah.
Like when I was younger, when I was a lot younger and a lot more naive, I was like, yo, I'm gonna win a Grammy. Right. So everything I did, at least in my head, right, was like working towards the Grammy.
Yeah.
But like, was I really doing it working towards a Grammy? No. Like, I was ignoring all the other signs. I was ignoring all the other shit to tell me, like, yo, you're not fucking doing it. Like, like fall back, regroup, reorganize, and get back to it. And, you know, and like, and, you know, I still, a part of me still has that belief and that faith, like, hey, maybe one day I'll win a Grammy. But the flip side of it is like, you know, I told myself, I was like, expect to never win one.
Yeah.
And if you look at it at that point, then you're going to do honest work and you're going to do what you're supposed to do to hopefully bring me to the point, you know. But once I took that out of my head, like I felt better. You know, I felt more honest in what I was doing because I was so obsessed with an idea that I shut everybody out, you know.
Yeah. And, yeah, the most dangerous word I think in the human vocabulary is expectations.
Yes.
Take out, if you remove expectations in your life, like you're not expecting anything. It's a different that, yeah, I want to be successful. It doesn't, it's different from I expect to be successful.
Absolutely.
Once you remove that, you'll be able to genuinely live life and do the things that you love to do because you're not expecting that person to like yourself. You're not expecting to get a record deal. None of that. You don't deserve shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
The world doesn't fucking owe you nothing, right? It doesn't, you shouldn't expect anything because you're not deserving of that. You know what I mean? It's what you want. It's what you love and focus on that instead of counting the, how many more days till I expect to become rich.
Right. No. And you're just going to be obsessed with it, man. And then when you don't get it, you're going to be even more pissed off. Right. And it's still be in your head like, yo, man, I should have fucking been rich already. I should have fucking won a Grammy already. I should have been popping. And you hold on to that shit, you're never gonna let it go. And I've put myself in that toxicity. You know what I'm saying? And it's not a good feeling because, like, for one, it's not who you naturally are. You know, you become so obsessed with an idea that your ego grows big. You know?
Yeah.
And your ego grows big, but like your work doesn't show for it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then now people aren't going to want to work with you, you know? And I'm not saying don't have those expectations, don't have those big dreams, but don't let that be the only fuel of why you're doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was telling my boy, because we had a conversation the other day, because he's a creative too, but he's kind of stuck. Like he's still in the trying to figure it out stage, and he's young, you know? Mm-hmm. And I get it. We've all been there. And I was like, bro, like the biggest flex isn't like necessarily winning a Grammy, having $1 million house, or having a fucking Lamborghini, man. The biggest flex is to be able to eat off of the art that you're creating and to live a comfortable life. And for me, I'm married. I want to have kids, bro. And the biggest flex for me is to be able to raise my kid, to take care of my wife, to buy a crib and live comfortably off of songs, off of making music. That's the biggest flex, bro.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. Bang on, bro. Like, that's what it is, man. Like, people, I have two kids, and I love them to death, and I miss them every day because they're in Toronto and stuff like that. But that's my biggest motivation is creating this legacy that when they look back and say, yeah, that's my dad. You know, that's my dad. It's not necessarily buying him a Lamborghini and shit. That's never even popped in my mind. I don't give a shit about that stuff. I want to be an example of, yeah, you guys can do it too. You know what I mean? Do it. You know what I mean? And that's people, you know, and again, that's the whole figuring out stuff is, to be honest with you, I think there's nothing to figure out. There's no looking for what is the meaning of life and shit like that. You focus on that stuff, you're going to be wasting days. Just live life. Like, accept what's coming at you. Accept where you're at right now. And just keep on doing what you love to do and passionate about. You know what I mean? People sit back and I have a buddy of mine too. Same thing. He's trying to figure out. There's nothing to figure out. It's living life. If you don't like the job you're at, prepare to leave. You know, obviously I'm not saying quit and fucking, you know, be in debt. Try to have that goal, but at least, you know, make that move. Do something. Do a start. Get it started. Fail as much as you want. You know what I mean?
It's funny that you say that debt thing, because, like, you know, a lot of people I encounter, like, you know, they want to get into the creative field, you know, and you know, thankfully they have a job that helps pay their bills, and they're all like, yo, I'm gonna quit my job and I'm gonna do this full time. I've been there, man. Like, I've quit very well paying jobs to go for broke on the music shit. I would not suggest it.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because you need to be able to sustain your life. You know, you need to be able to pay your bills. bro. Like, and this shit doesn't happen overnight. And I think a reason why a lot of people do the whole, like, I'm gonna quit my job and do this full time kind of thing is because they kind of expect it to happen in the next 6 months. Yeah. Right. They kind of expect it to happen like the next year. And I've been through it, man. Like, I've quit jobs many times to go for broke on the music I believe in and that I wanted to do, just to end up back at my job asking for my job back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like, I'm not saying, like, you know, it's the right move or the right decision, but just based off my experience, man, like, don't quit that job. Like, you need something to pay your bills. You need something to put food on your table. Yeah. If anything, if you're going to get a job within the field that you're working in. Right. If
yeah.
you're
take a place, get a salary cut to be, you know, to work at a place that you're going to learn from. If that's the case, right. If you're going to quit, then quit and take a pay cut and then work at a whatever, if a music.
Right. Because at the very least, okay, you take a pay cut, but at least you're learning game from the people that you want to be around, you know? And I guess that's that kind of just, you saying like going for broke and going for debt, you know, that kind of sparked me because like I've been in that position, man. Like I've gone for broke on what I believed in. You know, I've quit well paying jobs to do the music thing full time, and you know, I don't regret it, you know, but at the same time, like if you have that resource where you can kind of do both, you know, keep that resource because you're gonna need to eat, man. You're gonna need to pay your bills. You know what I'm saying? And it comes down to time management. You know, if you can work, you can do the other shit. And just if you're gonna get a job, do it in the industry that you're in. You know, don't.
Well, it comes down to, again, expectation. People quit their jobs because they expect to be successful in 6 months.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It doesn't work that way. It never did and never will. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All I'm saying is, like, you know, if you want to get into marketing, you know what I'm saying? Or if you want to get into like creative direction, like a Virgil Abloh or something, if you want to get into creative direction, don't go fucking work at T-Mobile. You know what I'm saying? Like work at a gallery or something. You know what I'm saying? Like work.
Yeah.
Something related to what you're trying to do so you can get that game. Like even if you're not earning as much, at least you're earning something, you know, don't go completely broke for what you believe in. Cause you're still going to need to eat at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's like you will find time. Like people say, well, you know, I have to quit my job because I won't find time to do what I want to do. I'm like, trust me, you can work, 8 hours, and then you still have the rest of the day to work on your stuff. Like if you're going to start a small business, I don't think it's highly recommended to, you know, quit your job and then so you can focus 100% on building that business plan. No, build a business plan at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, work for about 3 hours, go to bed at 12, and then there you go. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, oh, I don't have time to work out. Yes, you do have time to work out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get up. You know what I mean? Get up and do it. Like, and again, people are their worst obstacle. Like they're the biggest obstacle they have in their life, man. And it's like, again, I always think it goes back to expectation, expecting that this is going to pop off now. Because, oh, I said it. I put it out in the universe. And that's why I've always kind of questioned that. I'll put it in the universe. You still have to work at it. You know what I mean? It's not going to land on your lap and say, I want to have a Grammy. Oh, there it is. No, man. Yeah. You got to work hard for that shit.
That's real. I mean, I respect and I admire the confidence. You know, don't get me wrong. I love that kind of confidence in people. But at the same time, like, we got to be real. You know, this shit does not happen overnight. It may look like
that hunger. If that's just hunger, that's okay, man. Use that hunger, bro. Use that hunger to work till 2 a.m. if that's what you're hungry. Don't, you know what I mean? That hunger, channel it differently. Don't channel it as, I'm so hungry, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to focus on this. No, man. No.
Nah, man. Yeah. Don't do it.
It's super tough, man. I mean, and then, you know, I mean, it's also having a great support system. I mean, your wife, man, she's biggest support system in your life. And I see that every time I see you guys together, man. I love it, you know, and I think that's goes to, you know, my thing is creating a small circle of the support that you can, that's around you. And that means you might have to get rid of the toxic people in your life. So for you, you know, you have a really good support system, right?
Yeah.
You know, like how did you have to get rid of, it's hard to say, but toxic people.
I wouldn't say I had to get rid of toxic people per se. you know, I kind of just like, you know, just based off of decisions like my wife had helped me make, like they kind of just went away naturally. You know, mm-hmm. you go in a different direction, like the universe is going to take care of the rest for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you know, I was dabbling in stuff here and there. Like I was doing songwriting, I was doing this and that, you know what I'm saying? But like, you know, she really helped me get super focused and like get my shit together in terms of like, all right, like you need to do this. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And like, you know, they kind of just weed themselves out naturally, bro. Like when you're not in that spectrum of people anymore, you know what I'm saying? Again, when you pivot, right? When you pivot in a different direction, you kind of just naturally go that way. And the people that you were just kind of stuck in a bubble and they kind of just naturally weed themselves out because you're not there anymore.
Yeah, you're not paying attention to them. You're not watering, you're not watering the plant.
Yes. I'm not going to say I had to get rid of people. You know, I just think, you know, the direction that I went and the decisions that I chose just kind of just, and the universe just ended those relationships naturally for me.
Yeah. So what's the next, like, what's your next plan? Like, I mean, I think next week is modified GCQ, whichever that means. And I think the president's going to go on air on Monday the rumors has it to put a stricter guidelines on those MGCQ, which I'm getting confused what it means. What's the next steps for you? Like, what's your next move? What's your next steps now?
My next steps now, bro, is to keep my head down and keep working, man. Nice. Like, I'm headed LA officially now because we got a ticket July 2nd. So we're headed back July 2nd, but nothing's on the schedule except just keeping on working, bro. Like this is not going to come on its own. So I got to keep on going, you know, obviously spend time with family with the time that we have left, you know, mm-hmm. trying to see my friends, trying to see you, trying to see everybody else before I get out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But just keep working, man. That's all I can do.
I love it. I love this, man. I love having, you know, launching this podcast. I did have, you know, a top list of people I wanted to have a conversation with.
Man.
You're definitely one of them. I think we even talked about it when we were at the Refine at the poker table that we were going to have this conversation. And I was trying to figure out how to use the fucking microphone. I remember that it won't record. I figured out, you know, we have an engineer now that actually, it was a simple solution, which was hilarious. Yeah. I was laughing. It cost me, I think, 300 pesos to get this piece. And it was like, oh, that's what it was. But you know what? That comes down to, it wasn't supposed to happen then. It was supposed to happen now. It's all about now. And then accepting that, all right, that didn't come to plan. Why? Okay, I accept it. And then look at now. I'm like, I think I'm on my 10th episode or something like that. Or by next week, there'll be like 12 episodes. So something like that. And keep on going. But yeah, I really, you know, I want to thank you, man. Like, I really wanted to have this conversation with you because I, you know, I love our conversations back at the Refine. And yeah. I just feel like your voice is also needed to, you know, to inspire the listeners that are listening right now, the young entrepreneurs, to kind of get them up and says, okay. And again, not just entrepreneurs, but people that want to live their life authentically. You're one of them. I can attest to that. You're living your life authentically, bro. So thank you so much for being on this episode, man. We're going to do it again. I'm going to do a round table. Eventually I'll set it up with a round table.
You know, I'm always down, man. You the homie, so I'm always down.
And I love your fucking hair, bro. I love it. I'm like, I don't touch my hair. And now I'm close to like, you know what? I'll put a little bit more grace because I love the silver look, the silver fox look, man. So I want to get that going. So yours, how long did it take to do that?
Man, I was in the chair for at least like 6 hours.
Ooh.
It was long, but it's because like, cause you know how my hair was like copperish before?
They had to
like make my whole head like completely blonde for them to kind of.
I saw that.
So it took a while, but man, I dig it, man. I fuck with it.
I love it. No, honestly, man, when I saw your post and it was like a yellow blonde, I'm like, oh, don't tell me he's going yellow blonde. And then the next picture was a silver. I'm like, oh my God, that's friggin' amazing. And yeah, I love it, man. You definitely suit that shit, man. You definitely suit it.
Thank you.
All right, bro. Go do your thing. Keep on inspiring, you know, everyone around you and stuff like that. But thank you so much for being on this episode, bro.
Thank you for having me, man.
All right. Talk to you soon, bro.
All right, man.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to All In, a podcast brought to you by The Refine, a gentleman's lifestyle experience. Visit therefinedlounge.com for more details.